Okay, and welcome back to hour number three. And Ronnie McMullen joins us. Ronnie, on the first Friday, the third hour of each month, he's got his own program on the Rents Radio Network. Hope you'll tune in and listen to Ronnie. And excuse me while I have a little tea. And that's no joke. Life Change Tea. GetTheTea.com. It physiologically has done more for me than any tea I've ever had. It's I don't drink much tea, but this stuff makes you feel good. It helps in many ways. It's the real deal. And that's a nice thing. The gentleman in the last hour said he's using the products that I advertise, some of them. I've taken all of them. I usually continue to take all of them unless I'm too busy and I forget. But it's something I take great care in. I don't recommend anything unless it is the best that I can find for you. And this certainly qualifies. So enough of that for now. Say hello to Ronnie McMullen. Hi, Ronnie.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm still here. Thank you.
That's a great thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, let me say a couple of words about... I've had a bad feeling about this man, Ben Carson, from the beginning. I didn't like him. I didn't like his understated, mousy way of talking, too contrived to me. And now it turns out that he is a fraud and a liar. And I hope they flush him down the toilet immediately, along with most of the rest of the Republicans. In fact, all of them except one. I don't mind telling you. It's time for an outsider. Ben Carson was not that outsider. Donald Trump is that outsider. Ask yourself, can we do worse than we are now? And the answer, honestly, if you really look at the facts and the positions that Trump has laid out, is no. Ben Carson has lied and been caught. They've talked to 9 of his childhood friends. These are friends. And they say what he's describing about all his violence and this violent side of him didn't exist. They never saw it. Now, maybe there's a chance that it happened and no one saw it. I doubt that. You don't hide that kind of rage and violence as a young child from the age of 8 to 14. Those are the years I heard him personally mention. Now, let me also suggest that if you are violent as a child and full of rage, and basically he tried to kill someone with a knife, baseball bat attack, that stuff is still there. It never goes away. It may recede into the background and stay there for the rest of his life. I don't trust anyone with that kind of psychological damage. Something damaged that man, that young man, to make him do that. And I believe that he's potentially dangerous. I don't like liars. Of course, they all lie, let's be honest. Hillary at the top of the heap. But this paragon of virtue, Ben Carson, is a fraud. He's admitted it. He lied about being offered a full scholarship to West Point. It was totally made up. Now, and there are several other examples. So what do we do? Oh, okay, Ben, that's all right. You can lie. No, you can't lie. At least you can't get caught. You're going to run for president? That stuff goes out the window. You don't bring it up, but he did. And I guess to his credit, we have to say, at least he was honest. He admitted that the West Point story was a complete fabrication. But where do you draw the line? That disqualifies him right now. Hillary is so disqualified, it's not funny. So what do we have here? We've got Donald Trump. I don't know how anybody could look at this objectively and honestly, geopolitically, factually, and come up with any other determination. Now, I don't know if you agree or disagree, Ronnie, but that's my two cents.
I don't know if I like anybody that's in the running, to be honest. Trump is probably, he's okay. He says some good things, but to me, when you get into the big leagues,
what has he said, Ronnie, that you don't like? What are his positions that he's put out that you don't like?
It's not the positions that he's put out. Everything he said is sounds really great, but he reminds me of Ronald Reagan, and Ronald Reagan was a showman, and he was good. He had a lot of good points, but there was a lot of hidden stuff. And you didn't know the hidden stuff until he was out of office.
We never do.
But,
never do,
you know,
never
if I'm going to pick somebody, you know, I'm not sure. I kind of stay out of the political realm because
I have too for years. I'm not a voter. I don't take the political system seriously, but I am greatly enjoying the emergence of Donald Trump. Somebody different,
yeah.
Somebody new, somebody who, if you look at reverse speech, the man is telling the God's truth from his subconscious mind. When he says something forward, he means it.
All I know is not to vote for Hillary or Jeb Bush.
Well, you won't have to worry about little Jeb. He should be gone soon. And you have to worry about little Rand. I should say big Jeb. But yeah, he's awful people. Awful people. And Cruz and Rubio, what a slickster. What an untrustworthy little greaseball Rubio is. Sorry, that's my view. And Cruz is intellectually very sharp, but he is absolutely at the knees of Zionist Israel. So is Rubio. So is little Rand. And so no thanks. No thanks. Anyway, that's a little bit of politics for you. I just, once in a while, I have to get these things off my mind. And I put them on the homepage, and they're, I didn't write them. That's what the media is saying. So when you see the mainstream media go after a Carson, he's not going to recover from that. And he shouldn't. He is a liar. Hillary's a liar, but she's got so many get-out-of-jail-free passes, I can't count them. It's a Hillary media. Oh, I got another story. As you know, the Russian jetliner shot down, not with a missile, but brought down by a bomb. That was obvious. That footage was legitimate, taken by ISIL, or ISIS. Now we get word that a UK passenger jet dodged a missile above Sharm el-Sheikh Airport in August, just 2 months ago. Came within 1,000 feet of a missile on approach to the airport, and the pilot was able to maneuver the plane, and the missile couldn't track it. They got lucky. Yeah, these people, whoever's behind them, and it looks very much like we're correct, it is the United States and Israel, which started ISIL, the IS, Islamic State. They are deadly killers. They're insane, and they really shouldn't be on this planet. Anything else you want to know? That was a little humor. Did we lose Ronnie? We did. We lost Ronnie. See, I kept waiting for him to say something, and he didn't. All right, we'll get him back. Here's a story on that UK jet. 189 on board came within 1,000 feet of a missile as it approached Egypt's Sharm el-Sheikh Airport August 23rd. The Thomson Airways flight from London. It's Stansted Airport. That one I don't know. Only took the evasive action after the pilot spotted the missile, saw it coming up. The aircraft landed safely. Passengers were not injured. Plane just missed being brought down. So they've been planning this for some time. A little bribery and a suitcase goes on board, and that's the end of the Russian airliner and all those souls on board. And I'll tell you right now, we will see. Watch what Putin does by way of response. I would suggest that he is going to really raise the ante in this war with ISIS. Okay, Ronnie, you're back.
I am back.
You're on a different phone or something.
Yeah. It looks like internet went down. Always, you know, when you're going to talk about something really wild and crazy, weird things start happening.
Yeah, well, I know you went outside to peel off your Carson sticker. That's okay.
No, I don't know. It's crazy. So, you know, weird things happen. That's always kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Yep. Well, you know radio. You never know. All right. Now, what have you been doing since we last talked?
Well, just doing lots of stuff, you know, just keep the show rolling doing some very interesting subjects and, you know, so on and so forth. So
we're going to talk about one tonight, too, so don't miss this. It's going to be fascinating. We're going to talk about dreams and Ronnie has some amazing things to put on the table for us to talk about. Thanks for the tea. I always have it right here at the desk, and it's just wonderful stuff. So,
well, I think the tea is a wonderful thing. Obviously, I drink it. I've been drinking it for 8 years, and I don't know. You want me to do the tea offer now, or you want me to wait?
No, I'll do it later.
Okay, we'll do it later because I've got something good for the listeners. They know that they're going to get something good. So now we have good conversation, and then we're going to have a little really great offer for the Rents listeners.
Thank you for that. And they're your listeners too in many cases. They follow you over here.
That's true.
All right. Okay.
So dreams and visions.
Yeah, please. Now you had some visions. I guess I've had visions. Most of us have dreams where they see destruction of something or another. I had one recently. It was so vivid that I forgot it. You know, I guess it was too much. I don't know. But it wasn't good. It was not good. Not good. And I don't like those kind of dreams, and I don't have them very often. But there's maybe it's just something to do with the collective unconscious. There's so much fear and negativity out there now that maybe it's contagious, and it invaded my space when I was trying to sleep because it's everywhere. It's non-local, it's real, and it's there.
Well, I think what, you know, for me, I think one of my starter dreams was in 1997. And, you know, when you get a dream, and for some reason I've always understood dreams, that somebody will say, you know, I had a dream, and they tell me a dream. And, you know, it'd be off. You know, some people might say, well, that was a pizza dream. But I have this gift of
interpreting. What is a pizza dream?
A pizza dream is a dream that, you know, you say, oh, so I was walking out in this field and I was half naked and it was sunlight, but then I looked over the ocean and the other side it was snowing. And, you know, in other words, nothing really makes sense.
Like pieces of pepperoni on a pizza. All different things. Okay.
Everything. And so it's what we call a pizza dream. But there are dreams that have meanings to them. And, in fact, the Christians got so involved in this, they wrote many books on it. And unfortunately, every book that I ever read, you know, and I didn't read too many because they were so off, the color of red means blood, and this is this, and it wasn't true. So I would just go with my own interpretations of what things were. And
best way to do it.
You just learn how to do it, and you're intuitive. If you're intuitive, you kind of see it. And mm-hmm. So somebody would say, hey, you know, do you interpret dreams? And I say, yeah, I do. I, you know, not always, but, you know, most of the time. So when it happened to you and you have a dream, and I never really paid attention to it, I would just always slap it off as, okay, it's another pizza dream. But when you start getting your dreams confirmed and then you start seeing how they shape and how they're coming to fruition, then you kind of start going, oh, my God. And if you look at the Bible, many of the stories are dreams. Many of the things that are coming, prophecies we'll call them, are dreams.
Are they labeled in the Bible as dreams that supposedly took place way back when?
Well, they're labeled. If you look at the book of Daniel, there's many things that visions and dreams that took place.
They are labeled.
Yes, they are labeled.
All right. Well, let's talk about the book of Ronnie. Okay.
So my first dream was really in 1997, and it was a shaker. I call it the Costco dream. And the Costco dream was, in my dream, I was shot with my family, and I was shopping at a Costco. And this is where you have to start wondering, okay, is this a pizza dream or is this a real dream? And in the dream, I was going down the aisle, and all of a sudden I saw this leopard. And this leopard was kind of, he started walking down the aisle with me. And first, you know, you're looking in the dream, you're kind of like understanding you're in a dream. You go, oh, my God, that's a leopard. You know, that's something, that's a wild animal that could kill me. But the leopard didn't kill me, didn't kill anybody else in the aisle. It just kind of walked off. And then it started jumping and kind of frolicking around. And everybody started commenting on this leopard. Wow, leopards don't do that. Look at this. This is really cool. And so this leopard, and I remember in the dream, I told my wife, I said, whatever you do, don't touch that leopard. Don't ever touch that leopard. That leopard's not what you think. And I remember saying that.
Uh-huh.
And so meanwhile, this leopard is jumping around down the aisle, doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't bite anybody. And there's many other people in the aisle because Costco's very busy. And all I could think about was, let's just get our stuff and get out of the store. There's something very weird and something very yucky, and I don't feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we raced down, and we went into, and we started the checkout, and we had these few things, whatever they were. And all of a sudden, I looked, turned around, and here comes the leopard. And the leopard is walking like, you know, like the lions do. They have that cat walk that says, I'm in charge.
Yeah.
And it walked down the main aisle. And I watched it, and I was like telling the guy, hurry up, check me out, you know. And this leopard was walking down the main aisle, and all of a sudden, it went over towards the manager's office. As it went to the manager's office, they opened the door for this leopard like it was a royalty. And I thought, boy, that's weird. And as soon as they went in, the leopard went inside the manager's office, the door kind of gently shut, and I heard these god-awful screams. I mean, just screams. And so I said,
pretty
oh my
weird,
God.
Ronnie.
Oh, my God. I mean, it was just like nasty screams, you know, like blood-curdling screams.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon the door opens up, and as the door opens up, this leopard has got a human arm that has been torn off of a human in its mouth. Okay? And it starts walking down, and my dream ends. So I wake up, and I think, what a pizza dream that one was. I mean, that's crazy. But it bothered me. It was like, there's a meaning to that dream. And I started realizing at the time, of course, this is in 1997, and I started realizing at the time this meant something. The leopard meant something. See, the leopard represented Asia. And Asia was in the middle of frolicking. So in other words, it was connecting with the USA. Costco is one of the biggest retailers in the United States. So it was a connection between Asia and the United States. And as it came down the middle aisle, it was basically saying, I'm in charge. As it went into the manager's office, and all of a sudden these blood-curdling screams, it came out with an arm. Now, that was part of the dream that I couldn't figure out for the longest time. I was like, what does it mean with a leopard coming out with a human arm? And it was tore off. And all of a sudden it came to me one day that this leopard had disarmed the management of Costco.
Mm.
So what it was really saying is this is a disarmament, meaning I took the dream very solid as this was a way for Asia is going to overtake the United States.
Well, certainly can interpret it that way.
It was a very interesting dream, and
yeah.
And I thought, you know, and so I didn't really go anywhere with that. I just kind of left it for a while, and then I had another dream in 2001, and this one was very, very interesting because the dream in 2001 was of an earthquake, and it started with me basically almost being thrown out of my bed. I woke up in a cold sweat, and I was like, oh, my God, it was like I suffered this earthquake. And I knew this earthquake was San Francisco, and somehow I knew it was a 9.0.
Hmm.
So with that, I thought, okay, you know, here's this earthquake, 9.0. That's nuts. There's no such thing as 9.0s, you know, at least at the time. I was like, man, 9.0s are so rare. You know, this is crazy, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think nothing of it. In 24 hours, I was looking at a special about the San Francisco earthquake back in the early 1900s. And I was like, oh, my God. In fact, I think it was 1906. And they said that earthquake was a very, very huge earthquake. It was probably 7 or 8, but the scale wasn't really measured at those years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people died. So with that, I was like, oh, man, that's kind of a coincidence to see a special on San Francisco earthquake the very next day. But I thought, yeah, no big deal. Who cares? You know, you move on. Maybe a pizza dream. And it was shortly after that that I was on the internet, and there was this prophet, this Christian prophet, and he made a comment. He said, I just had a dream. And I thought, oh, that was kind of interesting. And in his dream was he had a dream of a San Francisco earthquake. And he said, this earthquake will be a 9.0. And I thought, Now, that's not coincidence. Something's being said. Maybe he had it in his dream time. He never mentioned his dream time. So I thought, oh, okay, this is interesting. So at the time, I was in a religious ministry. So I did a lot of speaking and a lot of engagements. And I went to this little Nebraska church. I was at this real northern Nebraska little church. I mean, there was probably maybe 50 or 60 members, and I was speaking on this. Hmm. So at the very end, I had this meeting, and I was kind of praying over people at the very end. And I went to this lady, and I went to pray for her, and this lady came up to me, and I prayed for her for a little bit, and I started to move down the line to pray for somebody else. And all of a sudden, she says, "You're not done." I said, "Pardon me?" She goes, "You're not done."
With her?
With her. So I'm like, okay. So I walked back and I said, "Well, what else can I do for you?" And she says, "Tell me what you saw." And I said, "Pardon me? I don't understand you. What are you talking about?" And she says, "Your dream, tell me." And I had not talked too much about it. And I said, "My dream?" She goes, "The dream of the earthquake." She goes, "You need to ask questions. Ask me where I lived." Now, we're in Nebraska in a northern little church. And I said, "All right, where have you lived?" She goes, "My whole life I lived in San Francisco." Hmm. I said, "Okay." And she says, "Tell me why I moved." She goes, "Ask me." So I said, "Well, why did you move?" She says, "I didn't move because I was broke. We owned our own house in San Francisco, so we had plenty of money." She goes, "I had a dream." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, what was your dream?" "I had a dream of an earthquake." She goes, "Now ask me how big the earthquake's going to be." So I said, "How big's the earthquake going to be?" 9.0.
Wow, that got your attention. That's pretty wild. So did you tell her your experience with the dream?
I shared with her. I said I had an experience of a dream with an earthquake, and it was 9.0. And she goes, "Why do you think I trust you?" She goes, "It's going to happen." She goes, "I don't know when, but it's going to happen."
In San Francisco, in the Bay Area?
In San Francisco, in the Bay Area.
That'll destroy that city. Wow. Hold on, Ronnie. We have to pause for a minute. That's pretty crazy. Back in a minute with Ronnie McMullen. Okay, and back with Ronnie. Interesting, you mentioned Costco, COSTCO, and you mentioned China. There is a corporation called Costco, COSCO, which stands for China Overseas Shipping Corporation. But this is Costco. I just wanted to be sure people didn't get them confused. The board of directors of Costco, very interesting. Some of the people on it, Bill, you better be vaccinated or else, Gates Sr., his dad is on the board of directors. Somebody named Liebenson, Meisenbach, Munger, Jill Ruckelshaus. There's a famous name. Don't know if there's any relation. And the founders, James Seinegal and Jeffrey H. Brotman, an attorney. He's the, I believe, the chairman. Yeah. So they're headquartered in Washington State. They have become the third largest retailer in the world behind Walmart. I don't know who number one is. It doesn't say here. And the largest membership warehouse club chain in the U.S. All right. Well, anyway, there you go. They're headquartered in Issaquah, Washington. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, your dream has yet to come true. However, 1 year before the Fukushima 9.0 earthquake, and remember, the earthquake did the damage to the plant. It wasn't the tsunami. The plant was already melting down by the time the tsunami hit. The 9.0 earthquake was preceded 1 year earlier with an 8.9 something. It was virtually the same, right off Chile. Did a lot of damage. Nobody remembers that one. So you get opposing quakes across the Ring of Fire. Now, I don't know if there's any connection there or not, but it would seem there might be. So San Francisco overdue, the San Andreas Fault right there. My God, there are faults all over California. So, you know, it's just a matter of time.
I've interviewed geologists and I've interviewed earthquake specialists, and mm-hmm. they basically have said that there really can't, it seems the gist is they can't have a 9.0 in the city of San Francisco, cannot happen. And when somebody says that something cannot happen... I always kind of cringe because I go, well, I'm not sure. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen just because I had a dream or just, but when you have weird incidents like a little old lady in a Nebraska church, and it gets a little crazier. I don't know if you remember who Billy Myers is. He's the German UFO guy.
Of course.
Well, he had Colonel Wendell Stevens over and even Shirley MacLaine, and they had a meeting, and one of the, I guess Billy Myers went up in one of the so-called ships. This is how the story goes. He went up in one of the ships, mm-hmm. and the extraterrestrials took him to back in time and forward in time, whatever it was, and they showed him an earthquake in San Francisco, and its number was over 9.0.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed towers falling, and he had pictures. Now, the pictures never made it to fruition for the public, but one of the magazines that was reporting it drew a picture of some of the buildings falling. So I thought that was interesting, and I actually was able to talk to Colonel Wendell Stevens and tell him what I saw in my uh-huh. dream. And he just smiled. He says, I've seen the pictures. And I said, you don't have any copies of those pictures. No, we do not. They were taken back from us. And I said, well, it's hard to believe when there's no so-called proof. And he goes, right, do you have proof of your dream? And he had me. And I said, no, I don't. And he says, no, but you know it's going to happen, don't you?
Mm.
And I said, yes, I do. And he says, you don't know when, you don't know how, but you know, don't you? And I said, yeah. And he says, so do we. So I thought that was
is interesting. You got to talk to Wendell. How did he strike you?
You know, when I talked to Wendell, I've talked to him a few times, and when I talked to Wendell, I never felt, you know, it was just my intuition. I actually met him in person in Tucson,
uh-huh.
and I never felt he was lying. I never got that feeling. There were some stories on Wendell, but, you know, every time there's people telling the truth, these nasty stories come out, and they make them look bad. And sometimes they're true stories, and sometimes they're not. So, you know, I don't know how to weigh it in the wind.
Yeah, it's tough. And the whole Billy Meyer thing was, my take on it is he had some experiences early on and then kind of began to invent things to stay hot, to stay an item, to remain an item.
I think that's always sad because, you know,
that's just my feeling, so.
You know, my dreams, I haven't had any major blah dreams in the past year or two or whatever, so I don't need to make something up to keep it hot. And, you know, but some people do. I guess they need that time on radio or they need whatever they need. But to me, when you have issues of dreams, and this to me is where it gets big, and when they're confirmed, then you start, you know, when you have a little old lady telling you that she's moving out of San Francisco because an earthquake's going to happen, it's 9.0, it just happened to match the one that's in my dream, you kind of go, mm-hmm. what's the chances of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Does that mean it's going to happen? I'm not saying it's positively going to happen, but if somebody said, you know, let's go from your soul, would you bet on a yes or would you bet on a no?
That's an interesting coincidence at the very least, so...
Yeah. And I, for me, would bet on a yes. And then my other big dream that was really wild was the Vandenberg dream. And You know, when you're dealing with an Air Force base, and, you know, when you start talking about Air Force base, certain ears perk up. And how that, to me, was really weird is my daughter was probably 12 years old at the time, and we were in Gallup, New Mexico, broke down, and we had to spend the night in Gallup, New Mexico, and I would never wish that on anybody, not even my worst enemy. But we had to spend the night in Gallup, New Mexico. And that night, I was just totally bothered. We broke down. I was like, oh, my gosh, how are we going to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I was just stressed out of my mind. And my daughter came up to me, and she said, Daddy, she goes, God's going to give you a dream. And so I looked at her, and I thought, oh, you know, how cute. You know, she's 12 years old. This is cute. And I kind of, I don't know, patronized her a little bit. And she's very intuitive as well. And she looked at me and said, no, Daddy, I'm serious. God's going to give you a dream. And she said it almost like angry. So I said, okay, honey, you know, I understand. So we went to sleep. And in the morning I woke up. Everything was normal. I started to go get breakfast. And as we went to the restaurant to get breakfast, John Ashcroft was on the headlines talking about some crap. And all of a sudden, I remembered my dream, and my dream was a nuke being dropped on Vandenberg Air Force Base. And I remember thinking, oh, my God. And I the dream was as vivid and clear as so much that I began to warn people.
Well, there's an awful lot of underground at Vandenberg, so it would have to be a ground burst, which is the worst kind. That throws more debris up in the air, which is immediately radioactive. So, yeah, goodbye. Goodbye, Southern California. Depending on the wind, it generally moves that direction. So does Diablo Canyon pose a terminal extermination threat to all of Southern California, built right on the fault? Madness. Total madness. Hold on, Ronnie. We have to pause. We'll come right back. Okay, I'm back with Ronnie McMullen, talking about dreams. Dreams have always been very mysterious, and rightly so, to the average person, and the non-average person as well. Are they just electrochemical things going on in your mind while you sleep? Are you intuitive, and are you pulling in information from the collective unconscious while you're dreaming, while you're asleep? Are you doing both? Are you doing other things? It's tough to know. Tough to know.
I think it taps into your subconscious. I think things open up in your sleep because you're not really control anymore. You know, we're controllers. So during the day, you know, we control things. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to speak this. I'm not going to speak that. You know, a lot of control. But boy, when you're sleeping, you have no control, you know, and, you know, there's some people that really get into, well, I can dream and I can go here and do this. And I'm sure I would not butt those people, like, you know, but on the same token, that's a tough deal. It's very close to remote viewing. And to me, when you tap into that subconscious, I mean, it's interesting when I had the Vandenberg dream and I went to warn some of the people near Vandenberg in Lompoc, California.
Did you actually go up there and talk to people? How did you do that?
I had a meeting. I called a meeting. I went on the radio, and I started talking about it. And boy, did I get people's attention.
Wow. When did this happen? When did you do that?
April of 2003.
Huh. Well,
April
still
of 2003.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even on radio yet. I didn't birth radio until 2004.
Uh-huh.
In 2003, I went into Lompoc, California. I rented at the Boys Club, a building. And I started getting on the radio and started talking about it. And
that is amazing. You know, you would do that.
Yeah,
feel so moved to do that?
Well, people, yeah, I felt very moved. And I had that dream. It was very clear. You know, my daughter didn't make things up with, you're going to have a dream. And sure enough, I did.
Yeah.
And the dream was clear. It was very clear, and it was also in the dream, at the very end of the dream, I remember telling my wife in the dream, I said, "We have to go. It's in the air. We have to go. It's in the air." And, and I saw a nuke, and I saw it from the city of Orcutt, California, which is, you know, 15,
Orcutt.
20
miles. Yeah. Orcutt.
Yeah. And I used to actually live there when I was a child, so it all kind of dialed in.
You lived in Orcutt? Wow.
I lived in Orcutt, California. Yes, I did.
That's
and
funny.
I actually grew up and went to school there. So it was had a paper route from when, exactly from where I saw the mushroom cloud. So it was very strange. And I thought, I sat on that dream for a very long time. And I thought, you know what? It was so in my soul. I went there. I rented this boys club and I told them, I said, I'm going to have meetings. And so I did. And, you know, we started, maybe 30 people showed up. Pretty soon 50 people showed up. By the ending night, I think we were there like 5 days, and I think by the ending night, we had 125 people. And what was really wild is I'm telling this dream, and I said, I'm warning, you know, this is going to happen. I don't know when, I don't know what day, and this is what's going to happen. And at the very end of that meeting, the last night that I was there, a feeling came over me that said, take the mic away from you and put it on the people. And I thought, what does this mean? So I out of my mouth comes, has anyone here had a similar dream? Five hands go up. And I took the mic to each one of them and let them tell their story.
A career is born.
It's two or three of them, basically, their story ends, and they said, yeah, I got underneath the table, and then it went black.
Wow.
Somebody else said, oh, I went and I did this, and then it went black.
And fade to black.
Fade to black is, you know, usually that's a sign of death. So I just thought, wow. And I think that pretty much rocked my boat, because I knew at that point I was supposed to be there. And you should have seen the crowd's faces. When they listened to me, you know, one guy stood up. It was pretty funny. One guy stood up, and he goes, you're a false prophet. And he's screaming at me. And people booing him and wanting him to leave. It was the strangest thing. So I just told my story. And then when you look at the crowd and you took the five stories of the people that raised their hands and you heard their stories.
Sure.
That's when the crowd changed. It was like, oh, my God. So I think, you know, is this going to happen? I hope to God not. I hope it never happens. I hope that, you know, as I said earlier in the show, that maybe I had a pizza dream. But I've had so many confirmations on the San Francisco dream. I've had many confirmations on the Vandenberg dream. And, you know, when you meet with Air Force personnel and they tell you, you know, one guy, he flat out told me, he was a colonel, he flat out told me, he says, you know, Ronnie, I believe in what you're saying. It's just a matter of time. We've been on DEF CON 3. So he says, I totally know what's going to, you know, and they were more dialing it in to Kim Jong because he's such a fruitcake.
Vandenberg would be a first tier target, of course.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
And so it would, you know, and talk about radiation. Oh my gosh, you know, so it's, so that's why I started putting a positive spin on messages, because, you know, this stuff wears you down.
Yeah, sure it does.
It does. Yeah. It wears you down. So,
especially if you grew up in Orcutt.
I didn't get to be in lovely Santa Barbara yet. I that was later. But, you know, at first it was Orcutt. That's where I grew up.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. What other things have you had happen to you? Dreams? Any other kinds of revelations or forecasts?
No, most of the time, the intuition works on people. And I know a lot about people. I can tell if I shake their hand. I can tell listening to them.
Tell by the sound of their voice and what they say. I know what you're saying.
It is. It's not always.
No, it's not 100%. But you, if
no,
you're
it's
open.
Not 100%. But there's sometimes, you know, I'll go, I know about this person, I'll know about this person, you know, and, or I'll just get a feeling about somebody and I'll just go, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't click, you know,
right.
And I can tell when somebody's on radio, I can say that guy's telling the truth, or I can say that guy's lying.
Mm-hmm.
It's the strangest thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And you sometimes when they're lying, you really have nothing to go on. You can't say, well, I caught them in a lie, and oh, they said this. Sometimes there's nothing for a very long time, but you just know. And I think it was pretty much like I was told. You have any proof of your dream? No. But you know it.
How could you have proof of a dream that has yet to happen? It's still kind of a silly question.
Well, how many prophecies in the Bible have still not been fulfilled? And I mean, it was written thousands of years ago.
Right.
So there you go. So should we do the giveaway?
Oh, yeah. GetTheTea.com. Honestly, the most delicious. It doesn't taste, some people might say, well, if it does that much, it probably tastes like medicinal herbs. No, it's absolutely delicious. And I'm not kidding.
I know. It tastes wonderful.
Yeah.
And the Rinse listeners are getting on to it. There's still a lot of listeners out there that probably haven't tried it. They're a little scared. They're like, oh, I don't know about this. It's
well, you give somebody their money back if they don't like it.
Yeah, but you know what? I've never had to do that. Everybody likes
it.
I mean, you know?
I totally buy
it. It's really
that.
The truth. Yeah. Yeah. We have a small restocking fee, but we've never had that. Most people, and then what we do is like tonight, you know, because we've had, I heard it on Rinse. Okay. Well, here, let's make it fun. For My Life Change Tea, which is absolutely going to help your body. It's going to cleanse all the toxins, all the chemicals, all the parasites, all of this stuff. It's going to take care of you. It tastes great. Does it not, Jeff?
Oh, I just had some. Yeah.
Yeah, it tastes great. So what I'm going to do tonight is for all the listeners, for the next 24 hours, for the orders to come in the next 24 hours, there's no Rinse code. You don't have to put in a code. You're just order's going to be taken, and you're going to get a free product. Now, I love doing this because then it kind of broadens people. We have a product called Life Change Moringa. And what it is, listen to this, the benefits of moringa leaf: increases the natural defenses of the body, provides nourishment to the eyes and the brain, promotes metabolism, bioavailable ingredients, it promotes cell structure of the body, it promotes normal functioning of the liver and the kidney, promotes energy, proper digestion, acts as an antioxidant,
supports normal sugar levels. This is a leaf?
This is a leaf out of India.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called moringa leaf. It comes off of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
It promotes healthy circulatory system, takes care of the immune system of the body. Okay? And it has naturally packed with 18 of the 20 amino acids, which are highly absorbable and absolutely crucial to good health. So this is really cool. Gram for gram. It has 7 times the vitamin C in oranges, 4 times the vitamin A in carrots, 4 times the calcium in milk with no lactose.
Wow.
3 times the potassium in bananas, and 2 times the protein in yogurt. This is all in a 1,200 milligram capsule. And guess what? I'm not going to charge anybody for this. So if they order the tea tonight, or they order products, because some people have been jumping on the colostrum because people got tummy problems. So anything they order in the next 24 hours, I'm going to give them a bottle of this Life Change Moringa to all the Rinse listeners.
That's very nice. I've heard of this. I didn't know much about it until I got to talking to you. There are so many things out there. Humans have only tested less than 1%, about 1% of all the flora in the Amazon rainforest to check it to see if it'll help us. There are cures for everything out there.
Absolutely. And all of this is at GetTheTea.com. GetTheTea.com. Next 24 hours. Anything they buy, they get a Life Change Moringa bottle. It's got 60 caps, so it's enough to get them through a month.
That's nice. Thank you for that. I'm happy with my tea, and that sounds intriguing as well. I just tell people, truly, get this tea and drink it. You'll love it. Great.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Product.
I was
almost,
out
almost
for
as wonderful as your radio show.
Oh, come on. I was out of it for a week, and I honestly missed it. I just felt like I was getting dirty inside. And I don't eat dirty food. It's just really cleaned and helped me feel better. So I appreciate that. All right, my friend, you take care. Thank you for being here, as always.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on the show, my friend.
Okay, Ronnie. Good night. And to all of you, have a wonderful weekend. Man, they go by fast. We'll be right back with you Monday in about 12 hours, it would seem to me. Hopefully a little longer than that. You take care, and we'll talk soon.